him being with us tonight, being able to preach. Pray much for him as he proclaims God's word to us.
Thank you for having me this evening. It's always a pleasure to get to come and preach here. You'll find the reading in the book of Luke, chapter 22. And when you have found your place, if you would please stand. We'll be reading in verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get here safely, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the great song service thus far, Lord. And God, we pray, God, that your word tonight, God, would be into the hearts of your people here tonight, God, that our words may flow fluently, God, that they can understand, God, that your word can be simplified here tonight for them, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Looking at these verses, it's saying, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. We're really going to be focusing on that point with the title of Satan has desired to have you. Firstly, we see Satan's desire here. His desire is to sift Peter as wheat. And I believe that Satan knew that Peter was being groomed by the Lord to do the Lord's work. And so, that being said, Peter was chosen for special events by Jesus. He was also allowed to go with James and John to witness the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. And again, he was with James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he saw the Lord in all of his glory. So Peter was also one of the first to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. And he was willing to step out of the boat. He was the only one willing to step out of the boat when they were in the storm and he saw Jesus. So I believe that Peter had a special mark on his life by the Lord. And Satan saw that special mark and wanted to try to squander it before Peter could get down the road later to preach to the church. So we know that Peter is this great influence, and Satan knows how to destroy that leadership and influence. And you know, as the youth of the church, you have great potential. And Satan knows your potential that you have, and he wants to try to squander your potential before you can even reach all that you have. Peter, he had all these strong points in his life, but he also had a lack of refinement in his life. He rebuked the Lord when Jesus started talking of his death. He said, "You will not." He said, "You will not die." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And so, with that being said, you don't want to get in the way of Jesus' work. You want to try to be in His will at all point in time. It's Satan's design. That's our next point. Satan's design is to squander what you have for the Lord. Firstly, we'll look at the things that Satan uses as his design. Satan lies and is the father of all lies. The Bible says in John 8:44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, the first time Satan appears in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. And the first words on his lips were suspicious to the truth of God. He asked Eve, he said, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" And then he then said, "Ye shall not surely die," when Eve said that we will die if we to partake of the fruit. He said, "You will not die." So if you see, Satan is the father of deception. So when dealing with that, you have to be cautious and knowing what Satan is going to do. He also blinds the minds of the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So he not only speaks false truths, he hides what is true. He keeps us from seeing the treasures of the gospel. He lets us see facts, even proofs, but he will not let you understand it. He also masquerades in costumes of light and righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13, Paul is saying that there are some people out opposing his apostles who were not. And the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So in other words, Satan has these servants of his who profess enough truth to try to join the church and get in so they can try to deceive the youth and to squander the youth before they can reach their potential. We see that Paul in 1 Timothy 4:1, he says that's the doctrine of devils, is when you go inside and teach false truths to the youth. The Bible says in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Acts 20:29 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." You see, without God's gift of discernment, our love for each other will be suckered into Satan's hands and used against us as a church and as a church body. Also, we see that Satan does signs and wonders. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the last days are described like this. He says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Some people do say that Satan can perform fake miracles, but even if they are fake miracles, they're going to be good enough to look real. So they can really fool what you think is truth. Then we see that in Matthew 24:24, Jesus says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." You see, there's no hints that these signs and wonders will be tricks. They'll be real. So let your confidence, youth and older adults, let your confidence be grounded in something deeper than this supposed inability of Satan to do signs and wonders. You see, the Lord can do real signs and wonders, but Satan can only do fake ones. So do not be deceived. Be warned and heed the dangers of being deceived. We didn't see that Satan tempts people to sin. This is said in the Bible. It talks of where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Jesus. If the devil is going to try to tempt Jesus, he's very well going to tempt you to sin. Now, he was unsuccessful in tempting Jesus to sin because Jesus is perfect. But as humans, we are not perfect. and we will sin. But we need to know to look out for when Satan is trying to get us to sin. We then see also that Judas, in the last hour of Jesus' life, Judas was tempted to sin by the devil through money, and he succeeded because Judas was weak in faith. You see, we need to not be weak in faith, and we need to trust the Lord and not be deceived to sin. And we also see that Satan plucks the word of God out of people's heart, and he also chokes faith with that. Jesus told the parable of the four souls in Mark chapter 4, 1 through 9. If y'all would actually please turn there, please. The Bible says in verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on a stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto him, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He's telling us the word of God is being sown in hearts of people. But if you're not receiving the word of God, it can very easily be choked out by Satan. And it can very easily be plucked out by the devil. You see, in Romans chapter number 10, it says that Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, Satan snatches the word because he hates faith, which the word of God produces. He don't want you to have faith in Jesus when you're in the middle of a crisis and he's trying to get you down. He don't want you to be looking to the Lord in hard times. He wants you to crumble to the ground. The devil wants to devour you. Also, Satan can cause some sickness. Jesus healed a woman who was bent over and could not straighten herself. And when some criticism came for him doing that on the Sabbath day, he said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" You see, Jesus saw that Satan as the one who caused this disease to happen in this lady's life. So Satan can cause you to have disease. In Acts chapter number 10, Peter described Jesus as one who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In other words, the devil often oppresses these people with illness, and this is too one of his designs to try to get you to fall and to devour you. But don't make the mistake of thinking just because you're sick that the devil's doing something to you, because it's not always of the devil. The Lord can cause sickness to work his plan in your life. Then we also see that Satan is a murderer. Jesus said to those who were planning to kill him, he said, "Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And then John says, later on, he says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother? And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then also later on in Revelation, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." To put it into word, Satan is bloodthirsty. And the Bible says that Christ came into the world that we might have life and have it abundantly. But Satan came into this world to destroy life and to make it end in an eternal, miserable place. We also, lastly, we see Satan's defeat. That's my last point, Satan's defeat. It says that, we know that God is sovereign over Satan. The devil does not have a free roam and a free hand in this world. He's on a leash by God. You see, everything that Satan does, he has to ask for permission. Satan has asked for permission to God to do something to you. Just like in Job, Satan went up to heaven, and he said to God, he said, "Job will cuss you to your face." And God said, Satan said, "Behold, he is in thine hand." No, the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You see, the Lord granted that spot for the devil to affect Job's life. So Satan can try to do things to you, but only if the Lord grants it. You see, God sees the ongoing role of Satan. And you see, it's essential for his purpose in our lives. If God willed that Satan be gone, he would have thrown him away when he first deceived us. He'd have thrown him right into the fiery lake. And Revelations 20:10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." You see, his defeat will be completed one day, but it's not yet come. So we have to be warned, and we have to know what Satan is going to do, because 1 Peter says that Satan is as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And I want to tell you, youth and people of the church, Satan is looking to devour you, and he wants to have you, and that's his desire. And the reason because he wants you is because way back in the day, he was an angel in heaven, and he was leading the choir. And he got self-righteous and filled with pride, and got kicked out of heaven because he wanted people to sing, because he wanted the rest of the angels to sing to him. And he was kicked out of heaven. And God has replaced him with us as his choir. One day we're going to sing in heaven to the Lord, and "Holy, holy, holy" is what we're going to sing. And the devil knows that because he's read the book. He knows exactly what the Lord plans to do. And Satan does not like that we are his replacement. And he wants us to fall down into an eternal damnation of hell. But I tell you, believe in the Lord and you will go to heaven. You come.
Misty, have a song for us. Everyone stand. Appreciate that. Warning, Satan is alive. Got a headache because he has had his head bruised at Calvary. One of these days when Jesus comes. But until then, Satan has power. Thank God that the message is so clear tonight, Brother Luke. We appreciate that and wonderful word of God. If we belong to him, we have security and safety. But when we stray, not that we're going to lose our salvation, no, no. But Satan can come and devour and destroy, destroys families, destroys homes, destroys churches. And all we have to do is seek God's face. Altar's open while they sing. Thank you, Luke, for the message. Respond to the message. If you have any needs in your life, you may have children, grandchildren, parents that aren't saved. Satan's after them. He's already got them if they're not saved. Well, let's pray that God would loose them. We know he wants to. We know it's his will, but none should perish.
I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he has. I've not always been true, oh, but he's always come through. He has, yes, he has. I tell him I'm not strong, he says I am. I say I can't go on, he says
still praying. Thank God for the melody in their hearts. Unfriendly world. And we know it will get worse. And that's okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Amen. Don't forget the funeral here Wednesday afternoon at 2:30. Charles Ellenberg, Miss Mary Ruth, she sits right back here. That's her husband. And pray much for that family. Visitation will be at 1 o'clock. Then the ladies will be serving a meal in the fellowship building. Brother Brian, come up here, please, and pray with us. Our new grandson family. Good to have you with us, my brother. Oh, my heart's clear. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you this evening, and we're so thankful for the message that you brought to us tonight, dear Lord. And we're weary of your plans for our future and what our future holds as long as we look to you, dear God. And we thank you for your many blessings on our lives, and we thank you for the ability to gather here tonight and listen to your word. And we pray for our family and for our friends and for those that we love that don't know you yet, dear Lord. And we ask that you just take us and use us as your light to shine in their life so that they could look and notice the difference in our lives and what that difference can make for them, dear Lord, and that's accepting you as their Savior and accepting Jesus Christ. We pray for them tonight, dear Lord, and we ask you just be with us, dear Lord, as we face another week in bringing in a new year. And we ask you just take that year, dear Lord, and guide us and direct us in the paths and in the ways that you want us to go under your will and your glory, dear Lord. We love you. We thank you for first loving us, dear Lord. We thank you for salvation. We ask you just go with us and guide us and lead us and direct us in all ways. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.